This is Bigger Pockets Daily, and today, let's just jump right into the show.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Meet Rent App, the seamless, secure, free way to collect rent. Built by a team of fintech veterans behind Square and Cash App, Rent App uses ACH bank transfers to deposit funds directly into your account. You don't even need to download anything. Rent App setup is straightforward for renters, and there are no apps for landlords to download. Both get peace of mind with a digital transaction history. That means no more lost checks, managing a dozen different payment apps, or even wondering whether payment was sent. Landlords say Rent App is the most convenient way to collect rent, and we think you'll agree. Rent App, the free and easy way to collect rent. Learn more at rent.app/landlord. That's rent.app/landlord. $2 trillion in commercial debt is coming due. What does that mean for the industry? By Mariah Costa. Commercial real estate has had a few rough years, and it seems like things won't be getting any better anytime soon, so the sector's kind of set for a potential rise in defaults. Higher interest rates have increased the costs of refinancing. And with $2.8 trillion, with a T, due between now and 2028, more landlords could be feeling the crunch. According to data firm TREP, commercial debt maturities are expected to balloon in the next few years. While many loans were extended or refinanced, the clock is slowly ticking for the CRE sector as those extensions are coming due. Worst commercial slump in the last 50 years. All right, so the CRE market has been struggling to regain its footing since the start of the pandemic, especially in the office space sector. When the pandemic hit, a lot of office spaces emptied, forcing landlords to make deals to delay payments until things recovered. Unfortunately, for those invested in the office arena, remote and hybrid working is now becoming the norm, with many businesses downsizing their office space or even becoming fully remote. Now that the CRE debt is coming due, landlords are starting to squirm. Because of how commercial mortgages are structured, when the debt matures, the principal must be paid off in full or refinanced. This has led to one of the steepest commercial real estate price declines in the last 50 years, a group of economists at the International Monetary Fund, IMF, found. This can largely be attributed to higher interest rates, of course, steep monetary policy tightening, and stricter bank lending standards. That's all according to the IMF as well. While the office sector has been the hardest hit, the entire market has felt the sting over the last few years thanks to a souring CRE market. Vacancy rates in multifamily homes have increased, and rate growth is expected to decline in the coming year, according to CBRE. Industrial spaces are also showing signs of weakening. The only potential bright spot in CRE is the, no joke, retail sector. As robust consumer spending and suburban migration has driven demand for outdoor shopping centers. Interest rates aren't going down fast enough. While interest rates have gone down just a bit, not enough. According to the Wall Street Journal, many borrowers are refinancing at rates higher than when they first took out loans. The Federal Reserve is under pressure to cut rates, too, some economists expecting a cut by the end of the year to 3.75 to 4% and continued cuts by the first half of 2026 until the rate hits right around 1.75 to 2%. However, that might not be fast enough for the CRE sector. Fitch Ratings expects delinquency rates in commercial real estate to increase 4.5% this year, while regulators are worried about the spillover effects. In its 2023 annual report, the Financial Stability Oversight Council, or the FSOC, cited exposure to commercial real estate as a concern for financial institutions and said that they need to better understand the risk. Nearly half of CRE's outstanding debt is held by banks. As losses from a CRE loan portfolio accumulate, they can spill over into the broader financial system. Sales of financially distressed properties can lead to a broader downward CRE valuation spiral. This is what the FSOC said in its report. The bottom line for real estate investors? Commercial real estate investors should buckle in and get ready for a bumpy ride over the next few years. That said, although the CRE space is under pressure, there's still some time for landlords to negotiate. But still, with CRE sales also under pressure, that's devalued properties, making it hard for lenders and borrowers to agree on how much the property should even be worth. With banks becoming more risk-averse around CRE and under more regulatory scrutiny, that could open opportunities for non-bank lenders, such as private credit, to step in. And for some savvy investors, the stress in the CRE market could provide some opportunities, too. In other words, there could be opportunities for investors to find distressed properties for a great value, provided they're prepared to weather some uncertainty in the next few years. However, uncovering these bargains will require a ton of due diligence for sure to avoid falling for value traps. Real estate investors should make sure to heavily scrutinize every single opportunity that presents itself. While there will certainly be some opportunities to revitalize properties, not all cheap properties will be worth the long-term price. All right, another Thursday episode done and dusted. Woo! If you're getting something out of this, please let us know. The best way to do that is to leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us improve the show, and 5-star ratings help us climb the charts and reach more people with this valuable information. Thanks for doing that. And I'll see you tomorrow, right here in the same place.